Hello, friends. Today is the third in our series of sermons called Encourage One Another. And today we're going to be looking at a whole other side of encouragement. We talked about notes and encouraging words. We talked about places. Last week I took you to some places. And a friend of mine who watches the worship service thought we were actually live streaming it and wondered how I got from one place to the other so quickly, which was fun. No, this is pre-recorded, and today I'm going to take you on a journey with me to show you one way that I bless others. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about a section of scripture and about the idea of encouraging people with food. Encouraging people with food. So let me read to you from Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. Are you ready? Here's what it says. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding lamb... The wedding of the Lamb is Jesus. And the wedding that's taking place is between Jesus and the church. That's the image in Revelation. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's the church, that's you and me, has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to wear. Fine strands of linen for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. You ready? Write this. Take note of this, the angel says. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. We're going to come back to that in a second. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to this testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. Now, this is an image of heaven and of the church all gathered together and of a great wedding between the church and Jesus. And there's going to be a wedding feast. And the angel says, blessed are those who are invited to that feast. So, in the Jewish culture, wedding feasts were enormous. They could last 7 days. They would eat and celebrate and have a gathering together day after day after day just to celebrate this new life, this new family that had come together and that was going to celebrate life and create more children and enable the family lineage to be passed down. And it was a great cause for celebration. And this is one of the images that's recurrent in Scripture. And Jesus uses it often, actually, several times in his stories and his parables about the fact that that God is going to throw a feast and he's going to gather his people together. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. But that wedding feast, that image of heaven, is one that you can add to your mental image of what heaven is like. Imagine, just imagine what size place it would take to have a feast with everyone gathered together at the table who has come to celebrate and worship Jesus and the Father. Imagine what that would look like. And imagine how big a party, what kind of food would have to be there for that kind of celebration. That is the image that the Father and that Jesus are trying to portray to us. And it's given in so many different ways, including, I think, the story of the prodigal son, where the son comes home and what does the father do? He throws a feast. He throws a big feast. Kill the fatted calf, he says. We want to celebrate, for the son of mine who was lost is now found. And he's invited to the feast. And so in Scripture, there's so many places where food is lifted up as imagery for us to understand that God is trying to teach us something through it and use it to affect us and to bless others. For example, you may remember that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Do you remember what the name Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. So Jesus was born into the house of bread. From the very beginning, there's this imagery of food tied to the coming of Jesus. And later in the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life. And that those who receive him will not hunger or thirst again. The imagery in the Scripture goes beyond that even. In the Old Testament, Jesus reminds us, in the New Testament, he reminds us of a story in the Old Testament in which the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God fed them every day with a substance called manna. They would wake up in the morning, it would be all over the ground, and they would collect it. And the word manna in Hebrew means, and many of you who went through Disciple Bible Study actually know this, it means, what is it? Because even though it sustained them day after day after day, they had no idea what it was. It was a mystery substance that God provided to them. A gift to keep them going and even to encourage them. And Jesus used food in Scripture to bless and to encourage in many different ways. And I want to take a minute to unpack that so that we understand what a gift this is to us to affect the people around us. Of course, Jesus used food to feed the hungry. There are many stories of this, but of course, the loaves and the fish come to mind easily, where Jesus did a miracle with a few loaves and a few fish to bless a crowd that was enormous in size. And so what he was saying was, I can use food to encourage and to bless others by providing for their needs, especially when it seems like they can't be provided for. There's a whole other sermon in that. And of course, Jesus abstained from food by fasting in the wilderness. So he used the giving up of food to bless his own soul, and encouraged us to do the same, by the way, as a spiritual practice, to discover something new about God and about our lives. He also used and experienced food in many different ways. His first miracle was at a wedding, wasn't it? Jesus was at a wedding. They had gone on for days and days and days, enough that they had consumed all the wine. And his mother came to him and said, you need to take care of this. And he said, I'm not so sure I'm to be involved in this. And she went to the wedding steward and said, my son will take care of this. Do whatever he says. And so Jesus provided an enormous amount of wine and provided really good wine. Why? To bless the celebration. And of course, Jesus attended lavish parties. He went to Zacchaeus' house. He was a tax collector with a lot of money and a lot of friends. And he invited Jesus and his disciples over for the day. And I'm certain that they had a lot of very good food to eat. And at the end of the day, Zacchaeus walked away and said, I need to give away a lot to the poor, which was also part of the kingdom. Jesus taught us in his teachings on spirituality as part of the Lord's Prayer that we were to ask God, give us this day our daily bread. Now, truth be told, there have only been a few days in life when I haven't had much or even anything to eat at all. Most of the time it was because I was sick, not because I didn't have food. In fact, I'm going to guess that most of you listening to this have never really had a kind of food scarcity that left you deeply hungry. But it is still out there, among us, not just in our communities, but in our world. And that's an important thing to remember. It's an important thing to understand and to keep in our minds. And of course, another way that Jesus used food to bless was this. As he came to an important place near Easter, and Good Friday and the cross, he said to his disciples, I want you to go ahead of me and I want you to prepare a room for us to have a meal together, which turned out to be the Last Supper in the upper room. And when he got there, he said, I've eagerly desired to share this time with you. And they celebrated what we now know as the Passover Seder, a beautiful meal recalling God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt, and how God came to save them, all symbolically laid out in the food around them. And so the Scripture talks so much about food and about what it means. And I've had the privilege as a pastor to be involved in blessing people with food. Not because I'm great in the kitchen. I rarely ever bless people that way. I'm not sure it's a blessing, to be frank with you. I can cook a pan of brownies with brownie mix, but you don't want my food from scratch. My kids will eat it, but as a general rule, I don't think I'd use it to bless others. But my participation in soup kitchens and food pantries, and feeding kids, and going to other countries, and helping with a backpack program at our church and other churches, in the Rise Against Hunger, in which we put together food packets for others. All of those things remind me of how food can be a real blessing. And when you don't have food, there is a stress to life that kind of hangs over you, especially when you have kids. The idea of sending your kids to bed hungry is really hard on the heart of a good parent. And so God shows us the variety of ways in which food is used to be a blessing and to encourage the people around us. And he wants us to use as many as we can to celebrate, to give the daily aspects of life that allow somebody just to make it through a day, to do something special, to remember occasions, good and even hard, and to lift somebody's spirits. It's why we collect so much food around here. It's why we had food drives. It's why Kathy participates in the backpack program at a school in Columbia, giving kids food over weekends. We think it's important to provide for people. And so I'd like to take you on a journey in which I have an opportunity to bless others. I'm going to start in the parking lot, and I'm going to take you with me on that journey, and we're going to share together, and then we'll come back here. Let's go. So we're in my car, and we're going to drive to a place that I use to bless other people. I don't usually share this with many people, so this is the first time I've really publicly revealed this. Some of you may already just have discovered this secret, but it's close by, and it's a great way to bless people in many ways. So let me take you there. Well, we're here. I'm going to share with you a secret location. Recently, I purchased a chocolate cake for somebody in our church. I dropped it off, and when they contacted me later, they said, "Where did you get that from? That was the best chocolate cake I've ever had." And I didn't want to tell them. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell them because I didn't want to let my secret be known. But I'm going to tell you all, and maybe the person that got it will finally find out. Here it is. You ready? Safeway. Safeway, right on 40, right around the corner from the church. I'm going to take you inside. And we're going to look at some stuff. And maybe the gold mine I found the other day is still there. I'm not employee Safeway, and I'm not promoting it. I'm just sharing with you, I found many, many things in the bakery section of this store that has blessed other people. So here we are. This is one part of the bakery case. Look at all that stuff. You could just taste the calories, can't you? But this is the showpiece case. The other day I came in here, there was a chocolate cake. It was similar to this one. It was just covered in dark chocolate. That's what I grabbed. How about this one? Think that would bless somebody? It looks tasty, doesn't it? When you think about all that's here, all that's available to us, it's amazing, isn't it? Something for everybody, I'm gonna guess. I'll bet there's something in here that you would absolutely love. For some of you, this may be the least exciting aisle in the grocery store. It's got pasta and canned food, tomatoes, green beans, corn, peas, some of the things that your parents made you eat when you were a kid, and frankly, some of you are trying to make your kids eat now. This is the staple of life. It's not chocolate cake, doesn't have frosting, doesn't always taste delicious, but it's the kind of stuff we live off of. It's the stuff of every day that makes us continue to go. Now you can get a fresh version of all this, of course, but the reason why I'm in this aisle is because this is what fills food pantries. It's what's stable enough to be able to pass on to people that have nothing or very little to continue keeping them going in life. And so this aisle is a very different kind of an aisle. Coming here not only helps us to get through the day-to-day stuff, but it allows us to give a gift that will bless somebody else, that's shelf-stable, has a long life, is nutritious, and allows us to continue to do the life that we do. So coming here is just as, and probably more important than going to the bakery aisle. It's a way of blessing someone and helping their entire family. And we want to thank all of those of you that participate in our food drives that allow these things to happen. This aisle is a different kind of an aisle and a different kind of blessing. I have a friend that's scheduled to get home from the hospital today. So before I get back to the church to finish the sermon, I'm going to drop off a cake and some gift cards that I bought for them for a local food place that they like. An easy way to bless them and to let them know that they're cared about. It takes a little creativity, and if you're not great at cooking like me, it doesn't mean you can't bless others with food. Use your imagination and some resources, and God can use you in really, really cool ways. Well, I dropped it off and that's done. Pretty easy, didn't take too much time. Now, I know some of you are going to say to yourselves, there's no way I'd be caught dead buying food or gift cards, much less a bakery product from a grocery store, and dropping it off at someone's house. And that's because you're amazing in the kitchen. But somebody like me is not. And oftentimes I've said to myself, that disqualifies me from helping somebody else out or really blessing them with something like food. But it doesn't. And that's really the point, isn't it? And that is, with a little bit of time and some resources and some thoughtfulness, you can bless other people. And so whether you have the skills and the gifts to bake or cook, or if you don't, it doesn't really matter. We can bless others, especially in hard moments in life, with an easy gift of something like food. Let's go back to the church and finish. As much as I wanted to show you who I dropped that off to and tell you why and see the expression on their face, you know, there are privacy issues, and so I didn't want to do that. And I assure you that even though I was driving and taping, I was on a back road by myself, driving very slow. It was safe, I promise. What I want to close with, what I want to ask you about is, do you understand that food is a gift? When our pantries and freezers are full, sometimes we forget that. And it's easy to allow food to just spoil in our fridge and get thrown away because there's so much of it. But when you don't have it, you realize what a gift it is. And in moments when somebody blesses you with something special, you realize that too. Patty Rao, before COVID hit and we shut down the church office, often stopped by the church, maybe once a week, and would drop off baked goods for the staff. It would go to the conference room, and by the end of the day, it was gone. People were blessed by her gift and her heart. It's fun to watch. It's fun to participate in, really. When people like me, who aren't overly good at cooking, realize that you can be a blessing to others in this way, it's really nice. Sometimes I'll go home and say to my kids, how many of you'd like to just go to Wawa and get something special? And they, yes, you know, and they don't even always know what they want, but they're always excited to get in the car. I love the ability and the opportunity to do that kind of a thing. It's simple and relatively easy. One of my favorite stories in ministry goes back over 20 years, closer to 25 now. I was in my first church, and I had a dear, sweet old lady that was in a nursing home. She had such a beautiful spirit about her. And while she was positive and grateful for her life and all that God had given her, and every conversation began by sharing about 30 seconds of her aches and pains and the things that were happening in life. And then she said, but enough about me. Let me hear about you and what's happening in the church and all of that. Eventually, over time, she began to share with me that the one thing besides reading because her eyes were no longer good, that she really missed was good food. The food in the nursing home just wasn't to her taste. And you can probably understand why. So one day I said to her, well, what could I bring you that would be special? And she said, you know what I really love? I said, what? She said, peanut butter and graham crackers. I said, done and done. And so every time I went, I'd bring her a big jar of peanut butter and a box of graham crackers. And every time she'd slide them under her bed so that the other residents and nurses couldn't see. And in the evening, she'd sneak them out. And bit by bit, she'd dole them out to herself. And it was food, not just for her body, but for her soul. It encouraged her. For me, it was a simple thing. All I needed to do was stop by the grocery store on the way to the nursing home. An extra 10 minutes. And grab that. I have no idea how many moments, minutes, or hours of joy that provided her. But I'm sure it was far more than the time that it took me to get it. And it's really simple, isn't it? The idea that you could affect somebody's life with something so simple causes me to wonder why I don't do it more often. So I want to ask you, who are the people in your life that you can bless? And how? From the people that you know and care about to the stranger. And I'll just tell you this, coming up in February, we're going to do another food drive. And I promise you that there will be people carrying out bags of food that you and I have donated. And they'll be smiling and we'll never see it. And that's okay. It's okay because Jesus sees it. And Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Wow. Just think about that for a second. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it's as though you've done it for me. That's a pretty powerful thought, isn't it? So I want to encourage you as we close. What are the ways that you can intentionally use the gifts of food and drink to be a blessing to the people around you? How can you touch a heart, even if you don't cook, in simple ways? And will you? Will you do that? I just want to close with this thought. One of my sisters discovered that in her busy life, it became hard to take the time to go out and to get food and to drop it off at my grandmother's house, even though she lived close by. And so she started using Grubhub. And she said, I can still bless her, and it takes even less time. And I thought to myself, how much more in this day and age is it easy to bless the people around us than it's ever been? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you not only for the gifts of food, but also for your heart that you gave to us in it, not only to nourish us and sustain us, to keep us alive, but also as a gift to celebrate life, a gift to celebrate the occasions of life, a gift to give thanks, a gift to gather together and be together around a table, to make connections and to remember, to grow closer to one another, and even to bless a stranger. Help us to be thoughtful about the gift that you offer to us in something as simple as food, and to use it for your glory, whether we have the gift of actually making that food or not. And we pray all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.